Congressman, I thought see what you did in the John, and the body by Shabbat in the John, some of that box of the Kija, or Premonandi, or verses, some of the Lord is all verses, some of the Lord is all verses, some of the Lord is all verses, he would be the verse. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prachadane Nirvishesha Chandravani Pashatana Prachadane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Jyotir Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare Hey from Candlesticks after 5:26 Tarupas Parshanare Vah
Vinirduta Malasaya
Japanto Brahma Paramahum
Japanto Brahma Paramahum
Te Pustatra
Mahattabaha Te Pustatra Mahattabaha Tattva Vasparsana Akshiva Vinirduta Malasaya Japanto Brahma Paramahum Te Pustatra Mahattabaha
Sons perform penances in the same way as the first. They bathe in the holy water, and by its touch all the dirty material desires in their hearts were cleansed away. They murmured mantras beginning with Omkar and underwent a severe course of austerities. Therefore, every Vedic mantra is called Brahma because each mantra is preceded by Brahma Akshara. For example, Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Pranava Sava Vedeshu, in all the Vedic mantras, I am represented by Pranava or Omkar. The chanting of the Vedic mantras begins with Omkar is directly chanting Krishna's name. There is no difference. Whether one chants Omkar or addresses the Lord as Krishna, the meaning is the same. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is recommended in this age one chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Although there is no difference between Hare Krishna and the Vedic mantras, beginning with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the leader of the spiritual movement for this age, has recommended that one chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Translation, Narayana Saras, the second group of sons perform penances in the same way as the first. They bathe in the holy water and by its touch all the dirty material desires in their hearts were cleansed away. They murmured mantras beginning with Omkar and underwent a severe course of austerities. So this describes the practices of the second group of sons. And like the first, they did great austerities, as it said here, Mahattabaha. And, of course, austerities in itself is not so favorable for bhakti, only if it is combined properly with devotional activities does it become successful. So therefore, it says here also that they chanted mantras in praise of the Supreme Lord, actually supreme mantras, indicating the Supreme Lord. So this makes their austerity successful. In the Nectar Devotion, Rupa Goswami talks about Vairagya and other elements, and he says they're actually a little favorable for bhakti in the beginning. However, that means later on they're not so favorable. So in a sense that we have to have detachment from some material detachment as a qualification for beginning the process of bhakti. It is favorable. But to carry on Vairagya, detachment, austerities, etc., is a major element in which the bhakti becomes unfavorable. And the reason given there is that it makes the heart very dry. What is the meaning of that? Because technically when we talk about the heart, we're talking about the physical heart as such. So, on the other hand, we see that the heart melts with the production of bhava. And in prema, it is completely melted or liquid. So that refers, of course, to the emotions, spiritual emotions, which flow very, very easily in bhava and prema. On the other hand, we see that Vairagya and other elements operate differently, and they cause a restriction of that flow. Instead of melting the heart, they dry it up. Just like we have a mango, and when it's fresh, it is very juicy. And if we put it in the sun, it dries up, no more juice. So essentially, the processes like Vairagya, austerity, jnana, etc., instead of melting the heart, they dry it up. So there's an opposite effect. Instead of becoming more attracted to Krishna, it becomes less attractive to Krishna. But that is the nature of these processes. On the other hand, we cannot say that with the development of bhakti, we should also increase our material desires. We cannot say that. But the process is a little different. The process of bhakti is that by increasing attachment to Krishna, naturally one has less desire for material things. So this is a natural method of renunciation. Where when we talk of austerities and vairagya or renunciation, this is imposed restriction of the senses. So in the beginning, of course, this is somewhat favorable. We do have to have some minimum sense control. But to go to extremes in terms of renunciation and austerities, this becomes unfavorable to bhakti. What is the reason, of course, why it changes the heart? There are several reasons. One, of course, is that these processes are not directly productive of bhakti, whereas processes like hearing and chanting increase bhakti. These other processes don't do that. And now, they may help process by sense control, etc., but in themselves, simply controlling the senses does not produce bhakti. So, if we emphasize these things more than the processes of bhakti, they become very prominent, and the bhakti becomes less. Then they can act as restrictions. The bhakti is less, and therefore the bhakti grows less, and these things grow more. These are material things, then. The result is that the bhakti more or less withers as a result of these things, and our interest becomes something other than bhakti. So, therefore we see that in other sadhanas like jnana and yoga, there is an emphasis upon vairagya and tapas, etc. more than we have in bhakti. So the reason, of course, is because they want to control the senses, they want to give up material activities, and with the complete cessation of material activities, they get liberation. So for that reason, they emphasize this. In bhakti, on the other hand, we do not practice this, what is called phalgu vairagya. Rather, we practice another thing, that is yukta vairagya. But vairagya means renunciation. Yukta means engagement. Renunciation by engagement instead of renunciation by rejection. So therefore, the process of bhakti is to use the senses and the mind and the intelligence and objects and activities in such a way that they produce bhakti. And in the process of producing bhakti, they produce attachment. So usually it's the opposite. Detachment is produced by stopping the senses, etc. That's how the jnanis and yogis operate. Because generally, activities of the senses produce karma and attachment. However, when the activities of the senses are for the Supreme Lord, for His pleasure, those activities do not produce karma, they do not produce attachment, rather they produce attachment to the Lord and detachment from material things. So that is the process of yukta vairagya. Instead of renouncing, the devotee engages his senses and his mind in the service of the Lord. And consequently, there is what is called sahaj vairagya, or natural development of detachment or renunciation through the process of bhakti itself. So therefore, it is not necessary to rely on separate practice of vairagya or tapas, etc. These will produce other results, that is, a tendency to become less attracted to the Lord and more attracted to impersonal liberation. So therefore the devotees do not indulge in these things to that high degree, though they are somewhat favorable. So here the sons of Padmapati Daksha did austerities, great austerities, but in conjunction with the process of chanting mantras about the Supreme Lord. Now Prabhupada here makes a distinction between Vedic mantras and Hare Krishna. So here the Vedic mantras are called Brahma. Because they of course are non-different from the Supreme Lord. And of course, Om also is non-different from the Supreme Lord. So that's why they are called Brahma, non-different from the Lord. However, these mantras require qualification to chant. So one must have samskaras, one must have upanayana, one must study the Vedas, etc. to chant these mantras properly. So it is understood here, of course, that the sons of Daksha actually did all of this properly qualified. Lord Chaitanya, instead of recommending those Vedic mantras, encourages everyone to chant the name of Krishna. Simply calling out the names of the Supreme Lord, Krishna, Rama. Whereas the mantras are actually grammatically structured. With certain words like verbs and nouns, etc., conjugated in certain ways. Name is simply calling out the Supreme Lord. No verb, nothing. Other words there. So, this is the recommended process in Kali Yuga. Why? Because this does not require the same qualification as those mantras. Those mantras require Vedic samskaras. We have other mantras which are not Vedic, those are Vaishnava mantras. They also require qualification, that is, diksha, initiation. Those are the mantras you use for worshiping the deity. So those are not available for people at large. This person has to take diksha and qualify for that. However, simply the name of the Lord does not require even diksha or Vedic samskar. So this is what is recommended for the age of Kali, simply chanting the name of the Lord. So people in general can take up the chanting process. This is exactly what Lord Chaitanya did. He traveled around and he encouraged everyone to chant. He instructed his followers, Haridas Thakur and Nityananda, to go and tell everybody to chant the holy name. So in this way, he started the Sankirtan movement. So this is the process recommended for people at large in the material world. It does not require Vedic samskar, does not require diksha. Everyone can just take up the chanting of the name. Of course, the provision there is that the restriction is that one should not preach to the faithless persons. But that does not restrict letting them hear the name. So everybody can hear the name. Only those who have faith, one gives instructions to. But nevertheless, those who maybe inimical, they can hear the name. There's no offense in having to hear the name. So that is the initial process, let everybody hear the name, and those who are favorable, then we can actually encourage them to chant seriously and give instructions. So this is the general process for the people of Kali Yuga. And then of course, then we have Vaishnava Diksha, etc. added on to that, or deity worship. So here are the sons of Prajapati Daksha were following this more Vedic process where they had mantras, etc., and they developed this way through mantras and austerities. And as understood, of course, that they had a longer lifespan, so they could go for thousands of years doing all these activities. And in the present age, of course, in Kali Yuga, people do not have long lifespans and they don't have great abilities. So the preferred process is simply to take up the chanting of the mantra. The sons were practicing brahmacharya life before becoming grihasthas. So they did their spiritual practice at this time. In Kali Yuga, not only in brahmacharis, but any ashram or any varna, our persons outside the varna ashram system can also take to the chanting of the name of the Lord. So it is not restricted. This is a more restrictive type of sadhana that they're doing. But in Kali Yuga, there is no such restrictions. So therefore, the process of Nam Sankirtan is recommended. Well, same in one sense, but he also says different in the sense that everybody could chant Hare Krishna, but not everyone could chant Om. And of course, the name of the Lord, Krishna, that has a very special power to it. Three of Rama's names is equal to, or one of Rama's names is equal to 1,000 Vishnu names, so three of Rama's names is equal to one of Krishna's names. What this means is not that they're actually we can measure it that way, but the understanding is that Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan, so the name Krishna represents is not different from him. So there is special qualities in the name of Krishna, as there are special qualities in Krishna, which are more than those in Vishnu or Rama. So, of course, Rama's name is equal to Krishna's name, is equal to Vishnu's name, is equal to Om, etc.
But in the various names, then also various potencies of the Lord are there. So the name of Krishna represents all of the qualities of the Supreme Lord, so therefore it's considered to be the most powerful. Well, technically, in a very general sense, mantra, but actually, when we talk in like Chaitanya Charitamrita, mantra does not refer to Hare Krishna. The Hare Krishna is called Nama. And mantra refers to something else, that is, the mantras that we get at Diksha or the Vedic mantras. So Nama is distinct from other things. Well, we follow Lord Chaitanya's procedure, as mentioned in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, that is Krishna first, but doesn't really matter.
So
when
it gets followed in all ages, like
those who follow bhakti.
श्रीमद भागवतम की भानु महाराज की श्री प्रभुपाद की जय गुरु परमानंदी స్టీమర్
ఎక్కడ
మన ఇంట్లో
ఎక్కడ
లేదా
మాత్రమే
స్టీమర్ ఉంటాయి ఏంటి స్టీమర్ మూడు ఇరుకు మా దగ్గర అమ్మ మహామంత్ర మతీసున్నారు உனக்கு வந்துச்சியா கிருஷ்ண மந்திரால எல்லாமே இருக்குன்னு சொல்றாரு கிருஷ்ண மந்திரத்துல கிருஷ்ண மந்திர கிருஷ்ண நாமத்துல மகாமந்திரம்ங்கிறது ஃபுல் மந்திரம்னு சொல்றாரு அப்படின்னு சொல்லலை மகாராஜ்